Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Game Train Podcast. I'm Callan and here's Carl.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Carl. This week is going to be a very indie-centric episode. We aren't really going to be talking big games as much. We're going to be looking at more of the independently published and developed games. Because for the rest of the year, pretty much everything is a huge release. So we thought we'd give those smaller games that might slip under the radar just a bit of their time in the sun.
Yeah, give them a little chance to shine before they're overshadowed by all these beasts coming out.
That's right. So our feature game this week will be The Long Dark. Also, yes. We've got our normal segments, of course, of Lame Train, Hype Train. And of course, fucking the other shit we've gotten is fucking hell.
We'll talk about the games we've been playing, and we're going to backtrack back into time, way back.
That's it. But first, the news.
Xbox One X pre-orders are coming soon, apparently. The latest update regarding the pre-orders for the system seemed to suggest that the FCC approval has finally gone through. Phil Spencer says, "Our plan is set for this." He mentioned this on Twitter. He says, "All approvals are done, so now just landing the announce with all the info won't be much longer." Now that's all he says. We're not quite sure what that means. Perhaps something at Gamescom, but it's really starting to kill the momentum of the Xbox One X, so we hope that the pre-orders are coming soon.
Alright, a bunch of Persona news.
Alright.
So, first up, Persona Dance. They're making two Persona Dance games for the PlayStation 4 and the Vita based on Persona 3 and 5. So 4 misses out there for some reason. They released several years ago a game called Persona Q, which is kind of like World of Final Fantasy for Persona characters. So they throw a bunch of Persona characters from different games into the one game, but in like chibi style. There's another one of those coming out now with Persona 5 characters in it. That's been announced for the 3DS. And the other big Persona news is that Persona 5 is being turned into an anime. So just like Persona 4 and 3 before it, we're getting an anime of the story, which is fantastic.
Sweet. That's good.
So for those people that don't want to trudge through an hour... Oh, an hour.
I wish.
An hour. 100-hour plus game to see the amazing story, you'll be able to probably watch the 20-hour anime or whatever they turn it into.
A movie adaptation of The Long Dark has been announced, with the Resident Evil producer on board. There's no release date yet, but Hinterland is partnering with the Resident Evil movie series producer Jeremy Bolt and his production company Bolt Pictures on the project.
Microtransactions are coming to Shadow of War.
Rejoice!
So with this, you'll be able to buy loot boxes and experience boosts that will give you stronger orcs and... extra gear and things like this. So,
oh, how thoughtful.
It's pretty much giving you a power boost for real money.
Final Fantasy 15 multiplayer comrades, or comrades, however you want to roll, is coming out soon. There's going to be customizable players, which sounds pretty interesting. There is a beta that you can try. One just finished, which was open from the 3rd to the 8th of August. But there'll be another one from the 11th to the 13th. Try that sentence at home. To play it, you'll need the Final Fantasy 15 Season Pass and an active PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold subscription. Now, this is all going to be technically separate from the main game. It allows you to create avatars, squad up with three other players, and take on new quests and defeat monsters. So, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. No release date yet, so we'll let you know when we do.
And a release date has been announced for the Horizon Zero Dawn expansion pack, The Frozen Wilds. It will be releasing on PlayStation 4 on November 7.
Nintendo Switch has shipped 4.7 million units in its first quarter, to no one's surprise. Nintendo is well and truly back on track, I think. And I think it's fair to say that when they say 4.7 million units shipped, it must be pretty close to 4.7 million units sold, because it's apparently very hard to get a Switch still. So I'm pretty sure they're selling most of those. PlayStation Plus prices are going up at the end of August. They will be increasing the prices to access their online service, PlayStation Plus, which is a bit strange. We're not sure why that's happening. I mean, it could be to do with some tax differences and things like that, like why Netflix did it recently, except Netflix did it just in Australia, which was to do with GST. This is happening all over the world, so we're not quite sure. Annually, the price will change from $69.95 to $79.95. Quarterly, the price will change from $27.95 to $33.95. And monthly, the price will change from $9.95 to $10.95 per month. And lastly, Australian cinemas are having a huge Studio Ghibli festival. This is awesome news for fans of those movies. The event will run from August 24th to September 20th across cinemas in Australia and New Zealand. Over the course of the month-long festival, all 20 of Studio Ghibli's feature films will be shown, as well as the TV movie Ocean Waves, documentaries, and a few short films. Booyah!
So yeah, now onto the games we've been playing, which, of course, because this is our indie episode, indie games.
Yes, nothing but indie games.
Oh yes, here we go. All right, so when I was looking for sort of indie games to play, I wanted a couple of different types. I was just looking through what was out, and I stumbled upon a remake of a game which I used to play 20 years ago. Nice. So this game was called Constructor. It's developed by a company called System 3, which is actually one of the biggest indie devs in Europe. Constructor was this top-down strategy game where it's like a town builder. So you're not really building a city, so it's just building a town. So you're building just houses, police stations, etc. But there's a lot of sort of tenant management.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you get
okay.
Tenants into your houses, but then you also have like turf war, really, with other people in the like opposing players in the city, or computer controlled sort of players in the city, and it's like, you know, you got to sort of get rid of them by like eventually hiring gangsters or annoying them with hippies or things like this, and you sort of try and run them out of the town, take over the town.
All right, so it's like Sim City meets, geez, I don't even know.
Yeah, because you're playing off against another opponent, or opponents can be up to four people in the game.
Yeah,
and there's, you can set different goals, whether it's like building a house on every block in the game, or just eliminating your opponents, or raising a certain amount of money.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just a fun game. It's got a lot of sort of character to it. Like, it's very sort of cartoony sort of game. It never takes itself seriously. Like, with the different people you can get into your houses, you start off with, like, slobs, right?
Yeah.
And then you can make them breed the next level of tenants, which are, like, punks. But to get to that, you've got to give them a computer so they have smarter children, which then upgrades their sort of tenant level.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So it's like generations and generations that you're
playing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think there's about five generations that it goes down to. And it's, so you pretty much start off with slobs or greasers. You get a choice of different tenants.
Okay.
On that, like, lowest level. And then it slowly goes up from there. So on level two, it's like punks and hippies. Punks and students, sorry. Punks and students. And then it goes up from there. And yeah, eventually then you start building mansions and things, and for, you know, your higher class of people. But the game is hard. There's a lot of micromanagement.
Sounds hard. Yeah.
Like, it starts off quite easy, but then it starts to snowball very quickly. Like, here's a quick example is, I had a block of houses, probably about six or seven on a block. I think I put too many, because what happened next is one house got infected with roaches, and that spread through all six houses on that, or seven houses on that block. And then the only way to get rid of the roaches is I had to upgrade every bathroom on that block and then kill all the roaches But the problem is, as I'm trying to clear them out of house one, they're jumping into house two. You know, so it was like this sort of flow and effect around the block.
Oh, yuck. Roaches, yeah, gross,
like,
me out.
And then at the same time, like the enemy's trying to encroach on you at the same time. It just got a bit full on in that game that I was playing.
Wow, okay.
But that's an example of what can happen. But if you plan for it, you don't put as many houses on the block. You have some better bathrooms because you know that sort of roach infestation will happen in the slob's house because they're not very clean people.
Yep.
But you can, yeah, avoid that by building the better bathroom in the house. So you can upgrade all the different rooms in the house to certain levels. So if you upgrade the bedrooms, they'll produce more tenants faster, like more offspring faster.
Yep.
If you upgrade I think it's the kitchen, they have a longer lifespan, the tenants, because the tenants can die too.
Of course.
Upgrade the bathrooms, more hygienic, etc. So there's all these little things that you got to take into consideration, because you can't just blow your money and just upgrade everything.
And so, like, looks wise, is it like 16-bit? Is it like, what's it look like?
So they've updated all the graphics from the original.
Okay.
Like it's just a top-down click sort of game. It's got a very sort of cartoonish feel to it.
Yep, cool.
It's quite clean looking. It's awesome. And anyone out there that likes those sort of like city builder like games, go give it a go, because I love the original. I played a lot of it when I was a teenager, and it's great to be able to play it again. I've been having so much fun with it.
Nice.
Another game I tried, which has been getting good raps everywhere, is a game called Pyre.
Ah, yes. I've been so keen to try this one.
Which is an RPG, which is out on the PC and the PS4. So the game's developed and produced by a company called Supergiant Games. They also did Bastion and
Transistor.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good games.
Yeah, it's an RPG, but the battles are almost like a sports game. Yeah. So imagine this, okay. Right? It's you versus the computer. Team of three versus, I think, generally a team of three. I'm not very far into it. But each side has like a pyre, right? A fire going.
Yeah.
And in the middle is like an orb. And with that orb, you can collect the orb in the middle and then pass between your teammates and move across the sort of the battle arena. And you can take out your opponents with like spells and things like that.
Yeah.
Or you can try and like avoid them and sprint around them or jump over them. And the objective is to get the like this ball into the pyre, and it will damage the pyre. And when the pyre hits zero HP, you win the battle.
So basketball.
Kind of.
Cool. Yes. Okay.
But it's like if you run the like this ball or orb into the fire, you know, you do a certain amount of damage. But if you lob it in like over the opposition's heads, it like does double damage. Wow. And then like your guys on your team, you know, you get experience points, and then you can start putting it into different skills. So it might be like, oh, you know, they can recover their stamina faster. So, you know, you might put that into like your little guy who runs really fast, so you can keep him running around, and or upgrade the power attacks to like your bigger guy because he does a lot of damage over a wide area.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
It's a fantasy basketball.
Pretty much, yeah.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it was. It's an interesting game. I'm looking forward to putting some more time into it and seeing how the sort of the game sort of evolves over time.
Awesome.
But so far, I have liked what I've seen.
Oh, I'm keen. Well, I played Bastion and Transistor, and I loved them both very much. And the storytelling in both those games was second to none. So I'm keen just to check that out. What's the story been like?
Story is, well, because I'm not very far in the game, I'm only about 30 minutes in, so story's still developing.
All right, okay, well, you said you haven't played these first two games?
No.
Well, if you had, you'd know that you should probably expect good things. I don't know yet, but judging from their past, I think it's going to be some pretty cool stories in there.
Cool.
So, fingers crossed they keep that up, but you know, it seems like they are, like, the gameplay sounds so interesting and different. A couple of games I've been playing. The first one, I thought, okay, we're doing an indie episode, so I might as well play this indie that everyone's been talking about that I've never just had the time to jump in and give it a shot, which is Shovel Knight.
Okay, yep.
And, you know, I've had mates that have played it and I've read reviews and, you know, it's been out forever. But, of course, it came out very early, if not straight away, in the Switch's release cycle. So I was pretty stoked to try it on Switch. They have the new Shovel Knight Who invented those two words next to each other? Shovel Knight Treasure Trove. How the fuck do you say that? Shovel Knight Treasure Trove.
Treasure Trove?
It's just a treasure trove.
Shovel Knight Treasure Trove. Oh my gosh.
Okay. That's a dumb word. Okay. So the version on Switch is Shovel Knight Treasure Trove. Even doing it right sounds bad. But yeah, this is kind of like a Game of the Year edition. It's got like all these extra features. It's got extra characters you can use, some sort of body swap thing where you can change the gender of your characters. It's got Spectre Knight and Plague Knight, which are like additional campaigns that are games unto themselves. And King Knight joining later, I think, as a free update or something. Apparently there's a fully cooperative campaign and full challenge mode that's coming soon or on it already. I didn't get a chance to play that, but I just wanted to try the game itself because I've never done that. And it was really fun. So I'm really enjoying it, and it looks really cool. It's like a strange cross between the very end of the NES cycle and super-duper early Super NES. So I don't know whether to call it, like, it's not quite 16-bit, but it's just, like, very, very good 8-bit. And the animation's beautiful, and the colors are just awesome. The controls feels great. The upgrading feels awesome. Like, I don't know. So I tried to jump on someone straight away like Mario styles, but you can't, you got to press down while you're in the air, so it's quite like tricky because he puts his shovel down to, you know, cut people with it on the way down, or you can just use it to attack. And there's secrets all throughout the game. It feels very like old school Mario. There's like hidden walls and little tricks and like falls to like pits of death that you think would kill you, but some of them actually lead to more treasures, kind of like Donkey Kong Country used to do a lot of as well. The music's cool. The presentation is just amazing. You have to try it because it's just like, as soon as you open it, it feels like an old school Nintendo game and just done so perfectly well that it doesn't even look like a remake. It looks like just the game's in their time still, but just one that was perfect to begin with. And it's, the story's very like quirky and funny and tongue-in-cheek, and I don't know, I'm having a lot of fun, so I'm very surprised I didn't get into this earlier, but yeah, it seems a lot of fun. I'm very curious to try the cooperative campaign. I think that'll be a lot of fun, so you got to jump into that with me as well, Callan, so we can talk about that.
So another game we've been playing is a game called Circuit Dude. So this game is from independent developer Jonathan Holmes.
Yeah, okay.
Who's from Dallas, Texas. I was talking to him online and he was telling me about this game he made, so we went and checked it out. So it's a top down puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's a puzzle game, puzzler. With 100 levels, like sort of like 100 rooms kind of thing. You have to like wander around and like plug in chips, and then it opens the door into the next room, and then gradually the rooms get harder and harder. So
Yeah. But also, every time you plug in a chip on a tile, you can no longer stand on that tile. So you got to do it in a certain pattern to get out of the room and make it to the exit. And
exactly.
Plug all the chips you need to. So it's kind of challenging.
Yeah. And it starts off simple that you're pretty much just doing a little square, and it's like, oh, yeah, there we go for like level one. And so it starts to get harder, and it starts adding in like moving blocks,
conveyor belts,
rotating walls, etc. And the puzzles then, yeah, start getting quite complex. And you got to figure out, you know, the optimal path through the room. Otherwise, you just block yourself in, and then you got to restart pretty much that level. So yeah, I actually had a chance to send some messages to Jonathan about the game, etc. Yeah, so he made the whole game by himself, except he had a couple of the sprites and the music commissioned, but everything else was him.
Nice.
I was asking him, you know, I asked him how long it took him to make. It took him 100 days.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Like, that's pretty speedy. He said, yeah, some levels, like some rooms in the game, took him about 8 hours to make.
Wow.
But yeah, overall from, 100 days to make the game.
That's crazy for a game with 100 levels.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, so...
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. He's a software engineer for his day job. So, obviously does a lot of programming and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I asked him, you know, was there anything that sort of went wrong or anything like that, you know, while he was making the game? He said, no, just, you know, some random bugs here and there. But as he said, that's pretty common in game development, which you understand. Bugs are always going to crop up. And he's still trying to stomp out some of the bugs. I think he's patched the game a couple of times now.
Okay.
And I asked him, so are you going to add, like, you know, anything else you wanted to add into the game that you didn't get a chance to? He said, yeah, he's got some free DLC coming. It's going to have a level editor and online level sharing. And then I asked him, you know, what's he got next in development? So he's looking at actually making a Magic the Gathering sort of game.
Oh, a card game.
Card game, yeah. So, he's been working on it, designing it, I guess, in concept for the last few years now. So he's looking at that probably for his next project.
Oh, nice. Okay. I'd be curious to see that, especially if he's making it on his own.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, like, you know, kudos to him, like, because I couldn't make a game myself.
No, hell no. I mean, and I gave it a go. It's pretty challenging. That's probably one of the main things that stuck with me is it's not an easy game. It is.
No, but if you do like puzzles, yeah, go give it a crack. It's only $5 from Steam, so it's nice and cheap. And, you know, it helps an independent game developer, you know. Like, everyone's got to have a little, you know, start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And if he's doing this by himself, he's onto a pretty good start.
Yeah, so, mate, if you listen to this, well done. So, now onto our feature game this week. Yes. The Long Dark.
I didn't come here to fight about the past. I need a pilot to take me somewhere remote. Someone who won't ask too many questions. Someone I can trust.
Wait, questions. Astrid, are you in trouble?
Okay, this episode's feature game is The Long Dark, developed and published by Hinterland Studios. It's a survival game, based on permadeath, and you're trying to live as long as you can, and you're surviving in the wilderness. It's based all in Canada. They just plunk you in the middle of the forest somewhere. It's freezing. It's sort of post-apocalyptic. There's no more power. The whole world's frozen over. There's no zombies and bad guys and things like that, but it's just you against nature and everything that Mother Nature has to throw at you. So there's like wildlife and there's hypothermia and all that kind of thing, and you got to just kind of look around and, you know, like other survival games, only it's a one-player experience. So I found it very interesting that it's equal parts anxiety but also relaxation, and you don't have to be worried about these people just coming in and ruining something that you've spent hours creating and building and that you're proud of. So I found that really cool. Basically a survival mode has been out for nearly 2 years.
It's been in early access for quite a while, probably nearly 2 years, and they've now just released the first two episodes of season one, which is their story mode.
Yeah, which will be 5 episodes all up. Yeah, the new story mode, which is called Wintermute. I'm loving it. So that's the newest thing they released with it, and so now it is officially released as a full game, both the survival mode and the story mode. And there's also different challenges you can do. So the main two modes are survival mode and story mode. And those of you who haven't played it, like myself, for the last 2 years in its early access, survival mode, I had so much fun. So I don't know if I'm biased because this is my first sort of turn playing a sort of survival game at all. I haven't really played any of like the DayZs and those kind of games ever. And Callan, you've played a bit more of these.
Yeah, I've played a fair bit of DayZ and H1Z1, and I'm, by a fair bit, I'm saying 200 hours on DayZ, and probably about 400 hours on H1Z1.
Wow, that's a fair bit, man.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I've played those ones, but the hardest thing in those games is not just your general surviving, it's all the assholes you meet in the game.
Yeah, okay. That's
the real danger. So the difference to this one is
It's a
one-player experience. You don't have these idiots come, like, you know, charging at you, or, you know, you're like, hey, I'm friendly, and then next second you cop an axe to the head or whatever.
Yeah, and they're overpowered, and you're just this little noob with one t-shirt.
No, it's not even that. Like, you'll be like, just the two of yous will be, like, wandering along, and then you just get chased by an idiot for, like, 15 minutes trying to punch you to death.
Oh,
yeah. You just stuff like this. Well, this is like the single player experience. It's you against the nature. Like, while the other ones have like hunger and thirst and things like that, it's still pretty easy to get food and water in those games, I felt, compared to this. Like, and then just figuring out how the game worked. Because, like you, I jumped into survival mode and told you to jump into survival mode first rather than the story mode.
And I was going to do story mode first, but I am so glad I didn't. And I encourage everyone to do the same and just jump into survival mode at least two or three times, because
the game gives you nothing. You are just thrown in there and it's like, off you go. You're like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Where do I get food? How do I get water?
Just brilliant. How long did you survive the first time you tried?
Not long. Not long at all. Well, I've had some silly deaths. The silliest one was, you know, when you're breaking down boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went on like a box breaking down spree and then didn't realize and just died from hypothermia.
Yeah. That'll happen.
Because in-game time passes, so it's like, oh, and it says, yeah, and you faded into the long dark. I'm like, oh.
And if you're breaking a box or you're taking apart a corpse or, you know, of an animal, time goes by a little quicker. So, like, time goes by in real time. Well, the game's real time. And then whenever you complete an action like boiling water or starting a fire, there's a little segment that shows you how long that'll take, and it'll say like 10 minutes or 45 minutes or 2 hours, and then you just click go and it'll take about 5 seconds in real time. But the time, like, you'll see the sun or the moon, you know, slowly moving forward right in front of you, and the time's actually zooming past and representing about 3 or 4 hours. And in that time, things like your fire that you lit will go out, or the weather will change into a blizzard, and you kind of can't control it till you're finished doing that action that you can cancel it, but you don't know. And then, yeah, so if you're doing something that takes too long and you hadn't really thought about it, or you're hungry or thirsty or sick, you're just dead.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, normal survival mode gives you nothing, while the story mode starts you off in the basics. It, you know, shows you sort of how to bandage yourself up, get a fire going, where to get basic water from.
Yeah, what food, herbs do what.
Yeah, things like this. While survival mode, you're out there. Like, you've got nothing, and every time you start the game, it drops you somewhere different.
Yeah, so you can't even get used to it and go like, okay, next time I'm going to run right there.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's like, oh, cool, I'm in a forest. And then next time it's like, oh, I'm next to a little factory. Here we go. Look at this.
Yeah.
You find a gas lantern in there, and
yeah, oh man, and every playthrough was completely different for me. Like, I looked different. I don't know if you noticed, but every time they start you off, you have different stuff in your pack as well.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, so, because I thought, all right, so I remember I did this, I'm going to just get this stuff. And I looked in, and I was like, oh, where the hell's my matches? Oh no. And then my guy had no gloves on, and he, like, his shirt was wet. And I'm like, what? This is not what happened last time. So I'm sprinting to find, you know, somewhere warm. And then I stand next to the fire. I'm not getting any warmer. And I'm like, oh, I got to take off my wet shirt. Ugh. So I take off my shirt and then I slowly get warmer. And I'm like, okay. Which I say slowly, I mean like really slowly. It takes like 15 real minutes. And I'm finally warm enough. And then I go outside to go pick up sticks. And I die of hypothermia quicker than ever. And I realize it's because I'm not wearing a shirt. And I've walked outside in the blizzard. And I'm like, come on.
Yo. It tests you in that sort of way. Like, you got to think of everything. Like, okay, so another time I started off in like in a cabin. I'm like, beauty. I'm grabbing everything. Found a gun. I found some ammo. I found food. I found pretty much everything you gotta need to survive. I'm like, I've got this.
Yep.
Bang. I go bounding out the freaking door.
Yeah.
And pretty much break my leg because I went bounding off the ledge too fast.
Of course. You can't jump very high.
Game over. I'm done. That's it. And I'm like, wow, I just had this amazing start because I was just so excited. I just didn't even realize. Bounding out, broken leg. Oops. Uh-oh. I got nothing to fix that. I'm stuffed.
Yeah, I did a similar thing. I found that huge factory and I was like, yeah, I got this. Got my rifle. I found 11 bullets. So I'm like, oh, you're going to die, everybody. So I ran outside and a wolf came for me. And I was like, I got this. And I was like, bang. Oh, wait. Reload. Oh, God. Wait, how do I do this? And I didn't really think it through. And then I thought like, oh, this is going to be tricky. That's cool. The wolf's got me this time. I'll come back from where I was in the factory and I'll get you next time. Next minute, new game. And I forget that it's like, oh, that's it. And I'd been alive for maybe 5 days at that stage, which is a long time in this survival mode. And then there's no resume. There's no load. It's just, that's your game. Done. Yep. You can play for like 5 or 6 or like 20 hours. And if you die, you're just dead. You can jot it down in your journal for good memories.
Yep.
But that is it. And I love the stress and the fear in that. Like it's so nice to finally have a kind of single player experience that feels as hard as games used to be back in the 90s, you know, where there was real what's the word? Like consequences to doing stupid stuff. Like nowadays, if you're playing a game and a jump looks maybe too far, you know, in a platformer, you try it anyway and then you fall down and then some magical thing brings you back onto the ledge and goes like, oh, try again, dear thing.
Unless it's Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, of course. But even then, I mean, Crash Bandicoot is still kind of almost back to the 90s. You know what I mean? Like nowadays, you almost just jump off the edge just to see what happens and how friendly they are and how quickly they place you back on the ledge. Like, whereas back in the day, you only had a certain amount of lives, like Super Mario Brothers. And once you lost your, like, you know, 9 or 10 lives, you start the entire game again. And I miss those stakes. Like, you know, they weren't awesome. Obviously, they've aged pretty badly in some games. But, like, in this sequence, it's so fun in a different level because you don't just run out and try dumb stuff because, you know, you get another go. Like, you don't get another go. So, like, you walk around that wolf and you take the 40 minutes it takes you to crouch and just slowly walk around that wolf just so you can make it to the cabin in time and hide in there till morning and hope to God the wolf is gone. I found it was so much fun, just that survival mode. And each time, like, you're something different. You're like explorer or survivor or homemaker or hunter. Like, every story was different. There's so much replayability. Again, this is so hard for me because I've never played survival games, so I don't know if I'm rating this game so highly in my opinion because it's so excellent or because I love the genre. I really, really enjoyed myself, like, so much. I was hooked on this, and I don't spend a lot of time gaming on my PC. Like, I love all the things I can play games on in my house, but I'm definitely a console guy. But I didn't leave my PC room for days.
Wow. Yeah, like, I think the game looks nice. It sounds nice too.
Yeah, the soundtrack is nice. We didn't even talk about the art yet. Like, it's so different. It's like very, very canvas paint. Like, and almost like, it's quite blocky. If you played Firewatch, it's like a more sort of crude, simple version of that. Like, the people are sort of big and blocky and, you know, the trees and it's not like photorealistic or anything, but it's not like Minecraft cartoony. It's just this weird sort of, not many textures, but everything is still very clear as to what it is. It's really artistic.
Yes.
It feels cool. And you get to see more of that example in the story mode.
Yeah, like, exactly. And I'm looking forward to, like, the other episodes coming out, you know, to finish that Wars of Cordit season 1.
Yeah, and I was very surprised after playing the survival mode. I was wondering how they're going to shoehorn a story into this setup, you know, and it was surprisingly touching and interesting enough to keep me wanting to survive with more of a drive than just like how many days can I go, like the cutscenes.
Yeah,
and the voice acting was like quite good. The story was like, it was pulling me in just enough. It was just real enough for me to care and wonder what happened to the characters. You know, it's
it's a pretty cool game. Like, and do you know what's great is that seeing an early access game go full release.
Yeah, like, and well,
we mentioned DayZ and H1Z1 before. Those are still in early access.
Yeah, and what's that, so, like 4 or 5 years?
I was playing DayZ 3 years ago.
Yeah, man.
Like, it was, it's great to see this game has gone proper release now.
Yeah.
And
can be just called a game.
It can be called a game, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. This.
So, you're talking about your rating before. What do you rate it?
Well, I'm so glad that we made this an indie episode and that I was quote-unquote forced into looking outside of the box to, you know, what to do, and that we decided to try this one. I love indie games, always have, but you never know when you're going to find one that's just going to hook you like this one. It was giving me equal parts relaxation, anxiety in the best way. You know, it was like frantic time and gear management, but still all in my own pace because there was no like randoms coming to kill me when I'm not looking. And I was the learning as I went and really feeling like I was actually growing my skill, not just like in that RPG way, but I was actually getting better at stuff and better at surviving and learning. And maybe I love this game, maybe I just love survival games and I haven't played enough. Either way, I give this 9 carriages out of 10. I think it was excellent. Excellent game.
Look, I think it was good. I'm giving an 8.
Nice.
Yeah, the one thing I would have liked to see, I know you say the no multiplayer, and you know it is annoying when an idiot comes along and kills you. Would it be nice if there was like a side multiplayer mode to have as well?
See, I don't know, because there are so many of them. I really feel like this one player gives this game its identity. Like when people look, say,
that
what
was
is
just
it?
That was just my opinion. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
Like, there's you know, you get that bit of anxiety and stuff in this game, right? But you know, wandering around by yourself. But when you're in one of these other games and you're in a house by yourself, scourging, and you hear that front door open, whew. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I imagine.
But look, this is a solid game. Like, this is a solid game. This is why I'm giving it an 8. Like, it's very, very good game.
Nice. I loved it.
All right, and that was The Long Dark. And on to our next segment, Backtrack.
What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
So Backtrack is this sort of segment where we take a look back at something that happened in gaming history on the same week.
Yes. All right. Now, this episode, I went looking for a bunch of different ones. We both had a little look, and the one I wanted to talk about, I thought was very interesting. August 14th, 1995. The Virtual Boy was released in North America. The Virtual Boy was Nintendo's first attempt at 3D gaming, sort of virtual reality, would you call it, I suppose? I don't know.
I don't know what you'd call it.
And it was, like, a lot of people call this thing one of, if not the biggest failures in peripheral history, or I don't know if you call it a console. I guess it was its own console, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
It didn't actually connect to anything, so yeah, it was. It had 22 games released for the system in its entirety, and only 14 of them made it to North America.
Wow, I didn't even realize that many got released.
Yeah, well, this thing was, the whole thing, apparently, prolonged use of the system was said to cause headaches and the temporary inability to see the color red.
What?
How good is that?
What the?
Yeah. That is some messed up shit right there.
Oh, man.
So, for those who don't know, the Virtual Boy was...
How did that even get through, like, Q&A?
I don't know. It was a different time back in the 90s, I suppose.
Oh, man.
So, when you wear these goggles or these virtual reality glasses or whatever, yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, this is old-school style thing where the whole game was kind of in red. All the outline was red, so it was, like, black and red. And I've never tried any 3D things. Have you ever tried one of these Virtual Boys, Callum?
Virtual Boy?
Yeah.
No.
I got to have a go of one when I visited Japan in a little shop called Super Potato. And it's just a shop that's quite famous in a town called Akihabara that sells just all retro games and everything from the past right up to now. And there was one there on display. So I just went, oh, what the hell, and chucked it on to try it. And holy hell, what an experience that was. I never thought I would ever get to try one of these, but it was a side-scroller. I was just playing Wario Land. And it wasn't 3D. It was just like a normal side-scroller, but it looked more like the 3DS-style 3D. Like he was sticking out forward and all the blocks and characters and the stuff. I don't know. It was so strange and so... what's the word I'm looking for here? Unnecessary. That is exactly the word I'm... Like, I was just playing going, why? Why was this made? It was... I don't know, maybe if you play the 3D ones, but...
Yeah,
Nintendo wouldn't attempt any 3D game system until Nintendo 3DS, obviously, which was released in 2011, so... That was an interesting blip in the radar. They just hit and missed. And I don't know if they're going to go back to, like, if they're going to be a contender in this virtual reality game that's kind of just popping up everywhere here and there. But I don't think so. I think they're scarred for life. But yeah, that's Backtrack for today.
All right. So on to our next segment, Games with Gold Plus. So this is the segment where we have a quick run through on what's out on PlayStation Plus and Xbox games with gold this month. So on the PlayStation, they've released Just Cause 3, which is the third-person open world game. Pretty much it's just chaos everywhere. You know, the first mission in the game, you're standing on the back of a plane with a rocket launcher.
Yep.
Like, pretty much that's the game. Like, just ridiculous things like this. You're this guy, and you've got, like, a grappling hook, and you can grapple hook around, and the game's all explosions and just...
Wingsuits.
Wingsuits, absolute chaos. That's Just Cause 3.
One thing I also really love about Just Cause 3, for anyone who hasn't played it, is that grappling hook that Callan just mentioned is the most funnest chaos-causing instrument of any game I've ever played. Like, you can hook it from a person to, like, a rocket and fly it away, or you can hook it to, you know, two different cars or a jet plane flying past and, you know, a guy driving past you and just to see what happens, or two bombs or a bomb in a building and things crumble, and there's a lot of room for experimentation and chaos, as Callum was saying. It's probably the best word to explain it. It's very pretty.
If you got a PlayStation 4, download it. It's free. It's quality.
It is well worth game. It is well worth nothing. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Trials Fusion is one of the ones on Xbox, and that one's available from August 16 to September 15. So it's not available till next week. But when it is, that's an obvious buy. Well, I say buy, I mean download. It's free. All the Trials games are awesome. I have to admit, I like the first two a bit more than this one, but this one is still another outrageous, awesome 2D bike game full of stunts and crazy things happening all over the place. And it's a physics-based and very interesting game to play. Quite challenging, but all the Trials games are just instant classics, and for free, it's just something you have to have in your library if you don't already.
So another game on Xbox One games of gold this month is Slime Rancher, which, funnily enough, is an indie game, so it fits our theme for this episode. It's a first-person life simulation, they call it, but pretty much you're running around, like, collecting up these slimes and putting them into pens, like, on a farm. That's probably the best way I can explain this game.
Okay.
It's very bright and colourful. It's a bit strange. If you're into that sort of thing, go give it a go. It's free, you know.
Awesome. And the only other one that I have played is Bayonetta. I'd be surprised if anyone hasn't, but at this stage. But if you haven't, that one is on the Xbox 360 and available on Xbox One via backwards compatibility. It's available from August 1st to 15th, so it's only available till next week. So get on that if you haven't already. That one is by Platinum Games. It's one of the games that put them on the map. The action is amazing. The story is... it's kind of like Just Cause in a way, just not an open world version. Like, it's just chaos. It's crazy. It's about battling angels, and you're also riding motorbikes on jet planes and hitting giant demons with the back wheel. And you're a witch who's covered in long hair who uses it as her powers to fight. I don't know how to describe this game properly. It's a lot of fun. It's free. Get up on that.
All right. On to our passenger question for this week.
Ah, yes. Reef.
Reef Akin, again.
Hello, and thank you. What would we do without Reef?
Should we call it just this segment Reef now?
Reef's questions.
Reef's questions? Let's do it.
Let's do it. Thanks. Thank you, Reef, for keeping the lights on here at Game Train Podcast.
Oh, yeah. All right, so he asks, what is your preferred system to game on?
Yep. So I assume he means currently.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's easy for me, even though I'm having better experiences game-wise on a PS4, my favorite console to play on is the Xbox One.
For me, it's the PS4. Yeah, I really enjoy the sort of setup on the PS4 at the moment. That's just what I'm going, my go-to at the moment.
Yeah, mine's just because of the Elite controller, it's just so bloody comfy.
Yeah, I just like the layout of the PlayStation desktop more, I guess. I don't know, it just works better for me. I'm enjoying the PlayStation exclusives, so yeah, and I've got the pro version of the PlayStation 4 as well. So,
oh, of course, that'll do it too.
Yeah, so for my third party games that are on both systems, I'll generally go for the PlayStation version because it just looks a bit better on it at the moment.
Yeah, of course. Can't argue with that. I'm hoping to get the... just for listeners to be aware, I'm actually going to be getting the Xbox One X so that Kellen and I will be able to try and review both spectrums of games, either on the Pro or on the Xbox One X, and at least both have something to say about either versions of those things. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Right. Well, it's that time of the episode where it's the lame train time.
All right.
What's your lame train?
The news, the recent news of the Super NES Classic Minis going on order and then being sold out immediately, or the giant error at Walmart where they said they were going on order and everyone got super excited, you know, and ordered this by the hundreds, and then it was just this huge error. Like, granted, that was happening in America, which is far away from us, but it still means that no one is going to have this. And there's this SNES Mini that I'm going to be getting soon when it comes out, because I got mine pre-ordered the day it was announced, within hours. But now no one else will. So I've got no friends to talk to about it. No one else to fucking be excited with. I just find that kind of sad and annoying. I want to be excited with everyone, you know, like when a new game's coming out or a new console and you and your mates are all just like, yeah, I can't wait. Isn't it going to be fun? What are you going to try first? Oh, I don't know. What are you going to... Now I'm just going to be like the same kid I was back in the 90s, just lonely old me sitting in my game room by myself playing these games. So that's my lame train.
Wow.
What's yours?
Okay. Microtransactions. They have a place.
Yes, they do.
A cosmetics place.
Correct.
Don't put power increases with your freaking microtransactions. What sort of fun is that? Oh, cool. I can pay an extra $30 and get extra orcs at the start of the Shadow of War now. Fucking brilliant. How about no? How about no Monolith Productions or Warner Brothers Interactive? I don't know which... The developer is Monolith Productions on Shadow of War. Publisher is Warner Brothers. I don't know who's decided this. I hope they revert it, because this is an absolute joke.
Yeah, I have a good feeling, though, that they might step back on that, because people are going crazy.
The internet are pissed. People are pissed off about this. Now, I'm still going to buy this game, because the game looks friggin' awesome. I won't be buying any of their microtransactions in the game, because I see no point of throwing my money away like that.
It's a fully priced game, too.
It's not like it's a free game and then here are the microtransactions to help the developers.
Yeah, which even then would be shitty.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Overwatch, I feel, did it right, where you can pay for the loot boxes, which is just cosmetic items, right?
Yeah, you can pay hundreds of dollars and you'll never be more powerful than someone who's
leveled up. No, but you just look a bit different. But then you've still got the chance of getting those boxes in the game, too. Just like in Shadow of War, you can earn the boxes in the game.
Yep.
But I just don't like how they add power increase to it.
Yeah, exactly. And you were saying it's got multiplayer in it as well?
It does. It's got an online ranked mode. Now, if your items that you get in the game carry into that, it's pretty much then just turned to pay to win online. Just be an absolute disaster for their online mode.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you lose against someone in whatever the mode may be. It's like, oh, well, obviously they paid money to get the better stuff than me.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my lame train for this week.
Yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
All right, hot train.
Woo! Hype train.
Boom. All right, so for me, it's an easy one this week.
Yep.
I'm still trudging through Persona 5. And the other day, I just happened to type into Google Persona 5 anime, because I knew 4 had one. I was just seeing if there was any rumors of 5 getting one. And it happened to be on that same day that the 5th anime was announced.
Oh, so good.
And it was just fist pumps. It was like, yep, yes, I'm so excited for that. The story in Persona 5, I'm almost near the end, but the story is fantastic. And I understand some people can't dedicate that amount of time into a game. And I think, you know, if you're into that sort of anime culture and things like that, I think you should check out this anime when it comes out. It's got a really cool story.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, really cool characters. And there's just some really great plot points that happen in the game, which will no doubt happen in this anime. And yeah, comes out next year, and I'll be getting a copy of it, even if it's in Japanese, and I've got to have English subtitles. I don't care. It'll still be great.
All right. My hype train is, come September 30, I'm going to have a SNES Mini Classic that no one else will have, motherfuckers! Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm also very excited for Lost Legacy, which is coming out in 2 weeks. so that's my hype train for the week. Very simple, very straightforward. I'm very torn.
But, that brings us to the end of the episode. Funny that you're ending on Lost Legacy there, considering that's going to be our feature game in 2 weeks' time.
Stoked. I'm just being spoilt by feature games right now.
Oh, yep. So, that's the Uncharted expansion, which you can actually buy standalone. So you actually don't have to own the Uncharted 4 disc to play it.
Win.
Yes.
Big win.
Yep. So that's very, very cool. But so that's in 2 weeks. Also, on our next episode, we're going to be talking a bit about Gamescom, because that's going to be going on at the same time.
Yeah, August 22nd to 26th.
Yep. So we're looking forward to seeing some of the big news that will come out of there. Ubisoft's got a very strong showing there, and I reckon there'll be one or two surprises on games that might come out this year that no one expected, I hope.
Yeah, and you know, we... regrettably might have to release our episode just a little bit later so we can collect a bit more of the news and get to jump into Lost Legacy a bit more than the one day that we would if we did it. You know,
so the next episode may be delayed or for a day or two, but then tune in for next week because we've actually got a bit of a special announcement coming on next week's episode, but you'll have to tune in next time to find out what that's going to be.
I totally know what it is. All right, guys. Thank you so much to all our listeners. You guys are awesome.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. Again, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know, if you like what you hear, share the podcast around. We appreciate every new listener that jumps on board.
We finally got a big enough digital footprint that you can just write Game Train Podcast on Google and most of that stuff comes up. So hopefully it's a bit easier to find us now than it used to be.
Exactly. And yeah, if you know a gamer that might be interested, send a link across to them. Get them on board too. Oh. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.